It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, kids.
But I also want to tell a story. And here's the story. My dad, like many of your folk who got relatives here, many of you whose relatives did the same thing, you're here, they're relatives probably not.
You're an idiot.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Well, it's official, ladies and gentlemen. We've been watching it all day long. Tiger Woods wins the U.S. Open, and now we have the standard. Rob and I will now demonstrate for you the classic post-defeat by Tiger. Anyone that's ever lost to Tiger, this is what they say. And Rocco said the exact same thing. Hi, Rocco. Well, you lost to Tiger. How do you feel about it?
I'm really glad it's over. I'm really pleased that Tiger let me play with him. I am also pleased that Tiger allowed it to go 19 holes. I'm just really glad that Tiger willed it so.
And it's the same. Look, the bottom line is he's a dynasty, and he does it again, and the other guy.
But don't you want to see Rocco just
be
pissed?
You want to see it, but they don't get pissed on the PGA Tour, Rob. You know what they do? They let the it's Tiger. And he is mentally tougher than they are. And he steamrolls them, and they all want to feel better about themselves, so they all have the same crap. I would love to see Rocco go, this sucks.
Yeah.
I had 11 chances to beat this guy.
What a bite on the bag.
It would have been the greatest moment of my entire career, and I blew it. But that's neither here nor there. That's the way it goes. Do want to mention to you and to everybody else listening, WJFK and True TV show called Black Gold. We're giving away thousands of dollars in free gas. Listen all day this Wednesday. Starting at 6 in the morning on the Junkies, we'll give away $100 of free gas every single hour.
Sooner than you think. This is the day after tomorrow.
This is very exciting. That's with the Junkies, Big O and Dukes, and until 4 in the afternoon with us right here on this show.
Yes.
Then from 3 till 5 during our show on Wednesday, get ready for this, ladies and gentlemen, $5,000 worth of free gas at a certain local gas station. You need to listen tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock on the button to find out where. Then get to your free gas, and it's from True TV's Black Gold and WJFK series premiere Black Gold this Wednesday night. Right. Drilling begins at 10 o'clock only on True TV. So $5,000 in gas. It's going to be $100 in gas every hour. Who doesn't want that? It's going to be fantastic.
It's really nice that Tiger Woods arranged for that.
Without further ado, let's get right to our guest. This gentleman is on A&E's Intervention. Let's welcome Jeff Van Vonderen. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How about yourself?
We're doing okay. It's been kind of crazy with our thunderstorms, everybody running around. Where we are here in Fairfax, Virginia, Jeff, when we get a thunderstorm, things kind of go ridiculously out of kilter.
They shut down.
We've got the olden-style telephone poles instead of the underground cables around here, so everybody's running around. How are you doing today, sir, and where are we speaking to you from?
I am in northern Wisconsin, and I'm doing great. Actually, I was supposed to do a town hall meeting for A&E. In Fairfax, and it was when you had that ice storm, and all those bridges were closed, and I sat for 3 hours just on the exit from 95 and never got to the town hall meeting.
Now, are you on one of those? Are you on a cell phone or a hard line, Mr. Van Vonderen?
I am. I'm on a cell phone, but I'm also on a headset. Why don't I turn that off?
Yeah, because it is hard to understand you, sir. Okay. We really like to be able to hear you a little better.
Hold on.
All right.
Okay, you know what you just did there, Mike?
What's that?
You intervened.
I gave you a little phone intervention there, Jeff.
Is that better?
Oh, a million percent better. Jeff, I have a question about your show that I've watched many, many times on A&E, Intervention. Do the TV cameras make what you do easier or harder? That's the first question I would have for you.
I don't think the TV cameras make a difference in terms of that at all. I mean, if the TV cameras made it harder, I wouldn't do the show.
Right.
If they interfered in a positive outcome in any way, I'd quit. And that's an understanding I have with them. But I don't think that they make it easier either. You know, I do about 20% of the interventions I do are for the show, and I would say I don't notice a difference at all.
I just thought, you know, when I was watching the show, I would wonder whether, when somebody's in that situation of having the cameras, it would ramp them up at all or maybe even influence them to go get treatment. But I guess it doesn't make a difference. You've done many of these things, and they're the same cameras or not.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. You know, the thing that happens with the show, obviously, that doesn't on my own private practice interventions is that because the client's understanding is that they are on a show, but they don't know about the intervention. That's a surprise.
And I noticed that you tell people, family members who are considering an intervention, you tell them not to watch the show. Is that right?
Well, I don't have anything to do with that part. That's the show that tells them. I just show
up. Okay, see, I thought that had something to do with the intervention. That doesn't have anything to do with the intervention. I was just curious why that would happen. So,
it might have something to do with it, but that's the show being concerned about that, not me.
Okay.
But, yeah, the thing is that the intervention's a surprise. And so, if anything, the person is kind of angry at the camera people for not telling them ahead of time.
What is the success rate for interventions like yours?
About 95%. About 90% of the time they say yes, and about 10% they say no.
Wow.
And then if the family doesn't cave in at the end with those that say no, about half of them end up going too.
Okay, so the interventions work, and I guess it's tough to get total stats on how long people stay clean after this, but as far as getting people to get treatment, which is what interventions are all about, 95%, that's not a bad track record.
Yes, and I also know that about 40% of the people that we did interventions with the show have been sober since the intervention.
Awesome. That's great.
That is good.
Yeah, and I also know that of the other ones who left treatment or whatever or who relapsed afterwards, half of them are sober since their relapse.
Oh, that's good.
Going back to something you said earlier, you said that these people agree to be photographed for a television show, but they don't know it's going to be an intervention. What show do they think they're on?
It's called Habits, and it's about a documentary about their addiction. So they know that it's about their addiction. You know, when they interviewed me for the show in the first place,
right,
I told them it would never work. I said, I've never worked with anybody who wants the camera following them around doing what they're doing, and they pulled it off. But I just show up on the first day and do the training like I would if there was no show, and then we do the intervention on the second day like I would if there was no show.
So if somebody tells me I'm going to be on the show Habits, I'm really going to be on intervention.
Yes, and I'm not even sure that's what they called. I'm not even that much involved in the show part of it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically you just handle the intervention and you let the show handle everything else.
Yes, which I like a lot.
If an individual refuses treatment at the intervention, I want to make sure that I've got it right when I'm describing what happens. You get the whole family in a room, and the ideal goal of this moment, of this intervention, is to have the person, wherever they're meeting at the neutral location, go right from there immediately into treatment. Is that right, Jeff?
Yes.
And when an individual refuses treatment at that particular intervention, is all lost at that particular time?
Well, you know, if you watch the season premiere tonight, you're going to see that the guy said no. He was kind of bring it on, you know. I don't care.
Very difficult to deal with.
As soon as you tell me the bad news, as soon as I don't have anything to do with you anymore, that's good by me.
The new season of Intervention, I do want to mention, premieres tonight at 9 Eastern time on A&E. And tonight's episode, are we talking about Chad? Chad's the guy we're dealing with tonight?
Yeah, but the thing about Chad is that it also was pretty apparent to me that when Chad and I talked alone, Chad and I were okay. I mean, he sounded like somebody who wanted to go. But as soon as I got him back in the room with the family and friends, he got angry and defensive and everything else. So I figured if I could get them apart, maybe he'll go. And so we ended the intervention on the note that if you don't go, here's all the bad stuff. So they gave him the ultimatums and all that kind of stuff.
Jeff,
and then I told him, I'll meet him tomorrow and ask him again, and he just has to talk to me.
See, that speaks to the next question I would have for you. I would think that addicted people are paranoid in many ways, and doesn't an intervention fuel that paranoia a little bit?
Well, it's different for everybody, but with Chad, it just seemed to me that there's no way this guy can say yes to these people. There's no way.
Because of his personality?
Yeah, to save face and everything else. And plus, he had dug himself such a deep hole in saying no that there's no way he could change his mind. So I gave him an extra day, and everybody went home, and I said, you know what? I'm going to show up at your alley and cardboard box tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock on my way to the airport, and you're either going with me or not, and we'll talk then. And he kept trying to talk some more, and I said, no, you don't even have to think about it or decide anything till then. And so I met him at 8 o'clock the next morning, and you'll see what happens tonight.
All right, very good. Looking forward. Jeff, will you take some phone calls from our listening audience?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to Joe in Rockville. Joe, you're on with Jeff Van Vonderen. Is it Vonderen or Vonderen?
Van Vonderen.
We had a little show that required an intervention on Friday, and we're having trouble, pronouncing that on Friday.
Three days later, you
got it right the first time.
Very good. Joe, you got a question for Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff, how you doing? I've had to go through an intervention myself, and it went peacefully. But have you ever had to handle sort of a fight scenario where the guy went berserk?
That's a good question.
I have another question for you when you're done.
I have never had that personally happen. The client has a lot at stake to be on good behavior. And actually, I have asked them, once you knew what it was, why didn't you just leave? I mean, what keeps you sitting in the chair? And mostly what they say is, I figured I'll just grit my teeth, listen to this, and then we're done, and I'll keep doing what I'm doing. But then the family members and friends and how much they love them and are concerned, that gets to them. And if that doesn't get to them, then they give them the ultimatum. And the truth is, most addicts, if it was just up to them, don't have the resources in and of themselves to even be an addict. Somebody's funding it or making it okay or making excuses or paying their bills or whatever. So if that all goes away, the addict's problem becomes their problem. And as soon as that happens, the odds go up, they'll get better.
What's your next question for Jeff, Joe?
I was just wondering, do you know Dennis Murphy?
No, that's a little, he's being silly there. Don't pay attention to that one. Rob, you got a question for Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff, obviously what you do is great work, but were you doing interventions before you did the show, and how did you get started in that? What's your training for that?
Well, I've been in this field since 1978, and okay. I actually worked at a place that is now Hazelden Pioneer House. So it's part of the Hazelden Treatment Center. I was a therapist at their treatment center in Plymouth, Minnesota. So that's how I started.
Okay.
And then I was in private practice for a while, and then I was the head of a big recovery department at a church. And I was doing interventions anyway, but not calling them that. And then about 12 years ago, I'd be sitting in the room and with this family and friends, and we're talking about somebody who's not there. And so I'd say, well, we've got to get in the same room with this person and come up with a plan, and that's basically what an intervention is.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I would think your job would take a toll. Where do you get your strength from?
Well, first of all, it's not my crisis, so that really helps.
But being around crisis all the time, I would imagine.
So I just think crisis is an opportunity to get better.
All right, that's one way of looking at it. Let's go to Eric in Springfield, Virginia. Eric, you're on with Jeff Van Vonderen.
Hey, I had a quick question for you. I'm 8 months sober, but one of my best friends is really battling with addiction, and I was wondering what kind of thing could I do to get him, into an intervention program to get him into treatment? Because he's done treatment once for court, but he wasn't really in the mindset, and now I think he's kind of in the mindset to get clean.
Great okay, question. Eric, hang up and listen. Jeff, you have an answer for Eric?
Well, yeah, first of all, if you have somebody who you think will go to treatment, then you don't need an intervention. The interventions aren't for that person. The interventions are for people who need help, don't think they do, and won't get it. So, start looking into treatment centers. I mean, I can give you phone numbers and stuff, but you can find that, hotlines and stuff to find treatment referral lines. And then if you tell them the great news, which is you found a treatment center for him, and he says, screw you, then you need an intervention, then you call an interventionist.
During the time you've been doing the show, or actually when you've been doing interventions, are there any individuals from the show or from your career that stick out in your mind as great successes?
Well, Chad. Chad's one for sure, but there was an eating disordered lady called Kaylee, and she was about 80 pounds, heroin addict also. And I did the intervention on her, and she went. But her mother, who was the one that contacted the show in the first place, she was there, and she was eating disordered herself for like 25 years. And so without telling her, I did a training with the family to do an intervention on her also, and we did that right after Kaylee left for treatment, and she went too. So that was pretty memorable because I got two of them in one intervention.
All right, Jeff, we're going to just take a couple more phone calls, and we'll let you go here. Kathy from Sacramento, you're on with Jeff Van Vonderen.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Love your show. I was just wondering, who pays for the treatment? I mean, you talk about this being an opportunity.
It's a good question.
Please take this opportunity. Does the family kick in? Does the show pay for it? Or is the person responsible themselves for it? Because I would think it's probably extremely expensive.
Yeah, in my own private practice, the family pays me and the family pays for treatment or insurance or whatever. But with the show pays me for the intervention and treatment's donated by the treatment center.
I have a couple more questions for you before we let you go, Jeff. Do you believe in addicted personality? I mean, are we out there? I almost said, are we out there?
You did say it.
I did say it. Yes, you caught me. I need an intervention. No, do you believe in addicted personality? Or addictive personality, I should say.
Yeah, are people predisposed to it?
I think so, but I'm not so sure it's like built into their genetics to be addictive in terms of their personality as it is in terms of how they're prepared for life. But the truth is, we're not who we are because of what's been done to us. You know, a lot of people you see on the show have had a lot of stuff done to them. We are who we are because of the choices we've made and how to respond to what's been done to us. Because I know people that have had worse things done that don't turn to addiction, you know. So they've made choices and they dug themselves in a hole and they don't know how to get out. So, I mean, if you, personally, you know, if I want to eat 10 M&Ms, I buy 10 M&Ms. Because if I buy a pound, that's what I eat. Is that an addictive personality?
Oh, it's funny you bring that up. They had them in the studio like 3 weeks ago.
We've been through that.
Yeah,
we know what I mean.
They were so tough to resist. But do you recommend, like, if somebody has an addiction, say they're addicted to a narcotic, a drug, prescription medications, alcohol, do you recommend that they try to occupy their time? I mean, you get them to the treatment. You don't do the treatment yourself that often. But how do they? What's the very first thing that an addict has to do? Is that realize that he's got the problem? Is that what he has to do?
Yeah, and some of those things you mentioned, they need a safe medical detox, too. I was just on the phone earlier today with somebody whose dad is going to try it himself, and he's an alcoholic, and, you know, in a little treatment, he's going to try it himself. And the thing is, if he tries it himself, and if his drinking history is what I was made to believe, then he is going to put himself in imminent physical danger for doing that. You can have a seizure or something else because that's a very dangerous withdrawal. But the answer to your question exactly is this. There's a difference between sobriety and recovery. So sobriety is just not using.
Right.
And
that's when people say you got to get a hobby or go build cabinets or, you know, I don't know.
Right.
But you know, if you want your loved one sober, let's just kidnap them, lock them in a closet, and 10 days later they're sober and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed.
Right. It's the same thing.
Like you put them in danger.
Have you ever felt that your life was, that your safety was threatened during one of these interventions?
No.
Never.
Good.
No, not one time. No.
Oh, that's good.
But let me make the point about recovery. Recovery is about living skills and healing and choices and getting equipped to live life. And we send people to rehabilitation, and rehabilitation, if you rehabilitate something, it means that you restore it to its former state of excellence. So, like, if you rehabilitate a chair, you restore it to its former state of excellence.
Right, uh-huh, I get it.
But the problem is so many of these people never had a former state of excellence. They never had a former state of excellence. Some of them did, and they're very obvious. You know, we had a nurse who could go back to nursing. You know, Chad has a former state of excellence. He can be rehabilitated. But most of the people that we send to treatment, basically rehabilitating them because they never had living skills. They never had relationship skills and stuff. And then, of course, they were set up for addiction. And so they're learning from scratch.
Well, that's so I didn't know that. And actually, probably a lot of people that are, you know, in treatment, that's the case with them because they've come from such terrible backgrounds that they, you know, they had nothing to go back to. And you're not rehabilitating, you're habilitating. I never thought of that.
Jeff, is it easier to habilitate someone who has hit rock bottom because they've got nowhere else to go? Or, I mean, are they just as much of a challenge?
Well, you see, some people think that, you know, unless the person hits rock bottom, you might as well not even do an intervention because nothing's going to change. You got to let them hit rock bottom.
You disagree.
And I agree with the hitting bottom part. You know, I think the person needs to hit bottom. But what I also think is that there's an intervention coming anyway. You know, they're going to kill somebody or kill themselves or wreck their body irreparably or something like that.
And that's an intervention in and of itself.
Yes, and that one's coming anyway. So what we want to do is we want to do ours first and raise bottom so they hit it tomorrow. Because if they hit it tomorrow, they can still take a really good bounce. You know, if you're dead or in prison, you don't get a very good bounce.
All right. Well, Jeff, we appreciate you coming on the show. The show is Intervention. It's on A&E, and it premieres tonight at 9 o'clock. Keep up the good work you're doing, Jeff. And
yeah,
it's fascinating to talk to you, and you're doing great stuff. And we wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for being on the show. That's Jeff Van Vonderen, and you know what he said about the websites. If you go to Intervention on A&E, I mean, you just search that. I think you'll be able to get in touch with a lot of the different rehab clinics that they have and find out, because certainly there are a lot of people that you don't need to do it on television.
Right.
You can do it without the cameras there. But
thankfully.
I was interested that he said that the cameras didn't make any difference at all.
I can't imagine that.
So you know, I'd go badass if you guys like call me to a to a travel lodge and they're cameras there, I swear to God, I'm walking right out.
But we do need you in the conference room after the show.
Beth and Ixnay on the Amra case.
Don't do it! I'm not going! We'll be back with the Hollywood Hot Sheet and more fun and more thrills. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. We will be right after that.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.